Is it not good to be in God's house? And I'm going to keep saying it. I hope you come this morning to have church, not to endure church. Amen? Because we come to the house of the Lord, we should come expecting God to move. We should come expecting Him to bless us, to use us, to guide us, to set us on fire. You know, we should come here on fire. And it should just be nothing more than just to keep us going. Amen? Praise His name this morning. I thank God that one day I saw the light too. How about you? I'm thankful, like Linda said, I'm thankful that one day, and let's get it straight. I'm going to tell you, I say this a lot, but I mean this. This is true. There's nothing false about this. You can be born again by the Spirit of God in your life. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something somebody made up. It's not something that this Bible had made up. It is true. And I praise Him for that. You know, we've had people saved here recently. Well, you know, praise God for that. We've had the Spirit moving. And I praise Him for that all the time. And I'll continue to praise Him for that. Because that's what needs to be done in each of our lives. All right, I'm going to be over in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, if you want to turn over there. 1 Kings 17. Give you a chance to get there. And when you get there, let's stand and read God's Word. If you're able to stand this morning, let's stand and read God's Word together this morning. I'm going to stand 1 Kings 17. I'm going to read the first 7 verses, if you would, please. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And I want to concentrate on that last verse I read there, verse 7. I'm going to read it again. And it said there, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank You again. I ask You for the anointing this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that our hearts will be touched here this morning. I pray, Father, that minds will be opened, Lord, and that, Father, that we will understand, Lord, what You're trying to get across, Lord. I pray, Father, that You would get me out of the way, Lord, and we'll give You the praise for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Thank You, and you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to start by saying this morning, brothers and sisters. Sometimes the brook can dry up. I hope you understand that. Sometimes our Christian lives can take turns and test, and everything that you believe about it will be tested and will be tried. Sometimes things are allowed to happen in our lives and in our lives, and we have no sense of why it happened whatsoever. But it just happens. And the brook begins to dry up. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning, about the brook drying up. I know I probably have preached on this down through the years, as many years as I have been preaching. I have probably preached on scriptures over and over again. And I say, Lord, you know, this is something I probably have preached here. But maybe you haven't heard it the way that God has given it to me here now. But sometimes that one thing that you have counted on, that one source of security that has been in your life, sometimes that may be taken away from you, and that stability may be gone. Now, I know there are people in here that have experienced that in their lives. I know that. And I want you to understand something. Sometimes that brook gets dried up like that, and this is what God has sent me here today to preach about, is what happens when that brook does get dried up? What happens when that happens? I'm going to tell you something. I heard Linda talk about the nation. I've heard people talk about what's going on in this nation. I want you to understand something, brothers. I don't know how close the timeline God is to coming back. I don't know what the timeline is for this country. I don't know what, and I'll be quite honest with you, I don't know what the timeline is for you or myself here this morning. But I can tell you this, believe this and understand this. We serve a God that is in control of it all. We don't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that we worry about sometimes. But we do worry about it, do we not? But praise God, God is in control of all of this. And I want to say this morning. I serve a God that I trust this morning. And I want you to understand, we serve a God. We serve a God that we should live by faith and that we should trust this morning. Because there are times in our lives, and I'll be the first one to stand here and admit it to you, sometimes I don't trust my faith as much as I should. And you know what you're saying? Well, you preacher? Yes, this preacher. Yes, there are times in my life that I don't. And God will bring me back to where I need to be. But listen, we need to live by faith. That's what we need to live by. We need to live by faith. The one thing I want to say, there's one thing that has given security and strength to you in your life may no longer be in your life. And the brook has dried up maybe. Maybe it is drying up in your life right now. I do not know. I don't know. A friend that you've learned to lean on down through the years. Maybe that friend has done something in your life and maybe they're not there right now. You see, that brook has dried up. Your job's been terminated. Maybe there's something that's happened in your job. And you see that brook has dried up in your life. What are you going to do? Maybe your spouse comes and says to you one day, I want a divorce. I don't no longer want to be with you anymore. And believe you me, I, as a pastor, I have dealt with that down through the years. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that brook can dry up pretty fast. I want to say this to people here this morning about some things. I've talked to some people about that. They've come and they're having issues in their marriage. And their spouse has come to them. And they've been married maybe for quite a few years. And they said, well, I no longer love you. And I don't want to be with you anymore. And they haven't been in church. And then they come to church. And they try to use God as a genie in a bottle to try to get this thing fixed up. And believe you me, the God that I serve can put anything back together. He can do that. But I always tell them, and I've told them this. You can ask my wife, I've always told them, listen to me. What if this doesn't work out? Are you still going to serve God? Are you still going? What if that brook completely dries up? Are you still going to come and serve God? And I've had these people look at me and they say, well, yeah, I'm. But yet, as time rolls on, it doesn't prove out. You see, we don't use God like a genie in a bottle. That's not what it's about. May I tell you this morning, if you're in church this morning, and you and your spouse are married and in church this morning, stay there. Stay there. Don't try to make it like it's some genie in a bottle situation. That it's going. No, you stay there. You serve God. Both of you learn to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. Maybe for most of your life you've been as healthy as a horse. Maybe you have been, as the old timers used to say. Maybe in your life you've been as healthy as a horse, as they used to say. But now it's not that way. You see, that brook is starting to dry up. That brook is starting to dry up. Listen to me, church. Sooner or later, understand this. That thing that you have security with, that thing that you have, that you've drawn on, that you rely on, that source, that brook may dry up. And may I ask you, like I tell those young couples about marriage, are you still going to serve God whenever that brook dries up? I hope and pray that you are. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray that you stay on fire for the Lord. I hope and pray that you do. You see, Elijah was sitting by a brook that God had sent him to. A natural. If you look at what this stands for, the word there stands for, and you look at it, it's talking about a wet weather spring. It's what it's talking. How many of you know what a wet weather spring is? I've been around it before, yeah. You know what a wet weather spring is? A spring as long as it's wet. As long as the rain. Yes, that's what it is. But anyway, we see something like this, and that's what it was. And it started, and when he first got there, it was fast flowing, it was clear. And it was good water. However, as time rolled on, the Bible tells us that, you know what? That the drought continued, that this brook, and I can see it happening, begin to dry up. Maybe it started going down a little bit. Maybe it started just not coming up as much. Maybe then it cut to a trickle. And then eventually it just dried up. See, Elijah could see this brook running out. He could see it running out of water. And each day, as this brook grew and more slowed down and more kept stopping to run, one day the inevitable happened. Brothers and sisters, and verse 7 says the brook dried up because it had no rain in the land. Like Elijah, are you watching your brook dry up this morning? Are you watching it? Because sometimes it just doesn't happen just like that. You can see things happening in your life. You can see it happening. And sometimes it happens just like that. But is there a brook drying up? God promised to take care of Elijah, right? I think he did. God promised to meet his needs. In verse 4, you will drink from the brook that I have directed the ravens to supply you with food. God didn't send him to some great river. He didn't send him to some lake. He sent him to a small brook. And brook that God knew would eventually run dry. Can I tell you something here this morning? No matter what you're facing in your life, our God knew exactly what you was going to face. He knew exactly what was going to happen. I believe our God is omnipotent. I believe he's omnipresent. I believe he's all those things. Nothing catches God unaware. Nothing. There's nothing that catches him. Why does God just give us enough sometimes? I want to read you some verses of Scripture that you will never hear the prosperity preachers preach. I can guarantee you, you'll never hear them preach this. If you go to Proverbs 30, turn there with me this morning. Proverbs 30, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Read them together with me this morning. Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. And you tell me if you ever hear a prosperity preacher preach this. Everybody there, when you get there, say amen. Amen. Remove far from me vanities and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take thy name, my God, in vain. Did you ever wonder why God just gives us enough sometimes? Praise God, I'm thankful that God gives us, he promised us that he would meet our needs. He does. And there are times he goes way beyond that even. But I wanted you to tell you this morning, listen to me. God is a God of enough. Amen? He is. God wants us to learn to be content with whatever state that we're in. Absolutely. And whoever the first one to be fully, why? Greg, he wants us to fully trust him for everything. Everything. He wants us to trust him for everything. Our greatest need is not a friend. Now I know this is I know some of this is going to be hard to swallow. But our greatest need is not a friend. Our greatest need is not a job. And our greatest need is not our spouse. Oh, David. No, it's not. Our greatest need is God. Our greatest need is the God that we serve. There are times in our life we get that convoluted. There are times in our life we don't possibly understand that. But our greatest need is God. Absolutely. And the sooner that we understand it, the more that we understand it, the better off that we will be. God wanted Elijah, and he wants us to recognize that his greatest need was not a thing. It was not a changed environment or a changed place to go, but it was not the people. It was his trust in God. That's what he wanted Elijah to understand. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to what his riches and glory. He meets our needs. Understand that this morning. And how that need is met may not always be the way that you think that it will be met. Did you really look and think about this scripture? Now notice in verse 6 of what I read to you this morning, it says this, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh. Did you know the ravens were an unclean animal? Did you know that? What was the first thing that Noah turned loose on the ark? It was a raven. Remember that? He turned a raven loose, and what did the raven do? It didn't come back, right? Of course, he turned the devil loose after that. Why? And this is just it doesn't say this in the word, so just take my word for it. Because the raven is a scavenger, and the raven had bodies floating around out there that the raven could take and eat off of. Do you ever think of that? It's an unclean animal. It was a scavenger. That's why the raven didn't come back like it did. But listen, and we all know the story of how he turned the dove loose later, and the dove come back, and he got the dove, and eventually the dove come back with an olive branch. And we know that after a while, he knew that it was time that they could get out of the ark. The raven flew back and forth. And that's why the raven was an unclean bird. Leviticus tells us that. And yes, show me in the Bible. I want to tell you something. God will use anybody and anything to get his need met for whatever he needs to be done. I've heard preachers say this. I'm not going to stand up here and argue with them. Have you ever heard someone say God won't use an unclean vessel? Well, he used Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he? He used the raven, did he not? He uses other people. He uses unclean vessels to get his will done. No matter where it's at or how it works, he will do that. He's God. He does it his way. He's God, and he will use anyone or anything to accomplish his will. And he will do that. And maybe there's something that needs to be done in your life. Maybe there's something that needs to be done here. And brother or sister, God will use whatever means it is to get it done for you as a Christian. At Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are our ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Can I tell you something this morning? If you think you got God figured out, you have no idea. You're fooling yourself here this morning. If you think that you have God figured out, you may be a good person. I'm not here to put anybody down. You may be the best. You may serve God to the best of your ability. But if you think you've got him figured out, you're missing the mark. I can tell you, I ain't got time to stand up here and tell you all the stories about the time I thought I had him figured out. How I thought that it was going to go. Isaiah 55:9 goes on to say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. God will close one door just to open another door. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I don't know what I've seen this happen time and time again, where he has closed one door in my life, and he has opened another one. But Dave Long was too stupid to notice that that door was open. It took me a while. It took me a while to notice it. Listen, we are to trust God. We are to trust him. And to understand that whenever we trust him and give our trust truly to him and for him, listen, that's when things work to our best. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's very familiar scripture. We've heard that scripture from the time, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard that scripture forever. But there's so much truth in that. We need to trust in him. Trust in him with all our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. Because too many times we do lean on our own selves too much. That's why we are to serve God, because he is God. Not because we understand everything that's going on. Let me say that again. We are to serve God because he is God, not because we need to understand everything that's going on around our lives. Amen. Because whenever we try to understand everything, I'm here to tell you, nothing will make any sense. Nothing. But one of these days, praise God, we will know it all. Amen. I said Wednesday, faith. The greatest faith that a Christian can have is to be found in what Jesus said in the prayer that he prayed whenever he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what he said in Luke 22:41-42. And he was withdrawn from them with about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. not my will. That is the greatest faith that a Christian has. And like was said here Wednesday night, that's hard. To say, God, not my will, but yours be done, God. Not my will. Whenever the situations hit us, whenever things come upon us, God, not my will, but your will be done. Man, that's hard. That is hard, but I believe that's the greatest faith that a Christian can have in their life. You see, we are to serve God even if our prayers are not answered the way that we want them answered. How many of you in here, have you thought back about on all the prayers that you wanted answered your way? How many of them, if they would have been answered your way, would have been the right way? Now, we think maybe sometimes that they would have been. We think sometimes that they would have been. I heard the story there Wednesday night. I'm not going to repeat who said it, but they've talked about how that they prayed and something happened a few years later that they wished hadn't happened, you know, that they probably would wish they hadn't, maybe hadn't prayed the way that they did. Hayward Gribble one time, as a preacher over at 14th Avenue, said this one time. His father-in-law was passing away, and he prayed. He said he fasted, and he prayed, God, please do not let him pass away. And, you know, just prayed his heart out. He said, God didn't let him pass away, but I think he said he lived for something like 4 or 5 more years, and he said he was pretty much just nothing but a vegetable. And he said, he told the church that night, he said, you know what? He said, I wonder if I prayed the right prayer. Instead of praying, Lord, your will be done. You see what I'm saying? And listen, you see tragedy and hardship take place even in a Christian's life. There's not a one of us in here that probably haven't faced some kind of tragedy or hardships in our life. And if you haven't, it will come one of these days. It will. And the brook sometimes will dry up, even in a Christian's life. I know that there are people out there that will say that Christians haven't made. Once you're saved, praise God, we're going to heaven. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But you know what? For somebody to stand up and tell me that it's going to be a bed of roses the rest of your life as a Christian, I look at them and I say, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. You're not. You're not. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Man, that's hard. I could go into a sermon there. I mean, that's that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Christians, listen to this. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain to who? The just and the unjust. Folks, we live in this sin-cursed world. And in this sin-cursed world, there is going to be bad things happen to good people. It happens. Ephesians 1:11 tells us, God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Mark that in yellow in your Bibles and remember that. He worketh all things to the counsel of his own will. Not ours. You see, God will get things done even if you do not mind him. He'll find someone else to do it. Elijah, you remember the whole story after all this. Elijah was having a pity party for himself. This is over in 1 Kings 19. And because he became afraid of Jezebel, we remember the story. The Bible tells us in the previous chapter that there was a showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. We all, if you've been in church any length of time, you know the story. You know it. But in chapter 19, we find Elijah. He was hiding in a cave. And he told God, I've done everything that you've asked me, God. I've done everything. But the people in this nation just don't care about you. Everybody's just rejecting you. And he goes right on down the line. You know what God showed him? I like this. 1 Kings 19, 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. I paint with a pretty broad brush sometimes. I know I do. Probably sometimes I paint with a push broom. But I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of good people out here in churches around this nation that are still standing up, that have not bowed a knee to Baal, and have not kissed him. And I'm talking about, brother, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people out there still like it. I know we could go on and on about the ones, the churches that don't. But you know, sometimes we don't dig deep enough to find the ones that are still out there fighting the good fight. God showed him differently. God would have gotten the job done even if Elijah hadn't wanted to get it done. And can I tell you something? You're not that important here this morning that this church wouldn't go on without us. We're not that important that the church of the living God will not go on without us one day. Because praise his name, he will find a way, he will make a way, he will replace whenever he needs to replace. I've been around folks down through the years that have served God, and they were the only ones in their family that served God. I've been there, I've talked to them, I know. But guess what they did? They kept on going. Why? Because they knew that heaven would be worth it all one day. They knew that. They understood that. The Spirit of God was dealing with them and showing them that just because there was nobody else and they didn't want to listen to you, praise God, you still fight the fight. Still, there are others who have had their worlds turned upside down. A spouse left them, a tragedy come to their family. Their brook had dried up. And guess what? They were just like Elijah. They went to that cave, and they were in that cave in their life. And unfortunately, some of them didn't come out of it. They didn't want anything else to do with church or with God because they thought, well, you know what? If I serve a God like that, I don't want anything to do with him. They didn't understand what God was trying to get across and what God tried to show. Their brook dried up. They couldn't understand why God would allow that to happen to them. Why would God? Folks, what does it mean to serve God to you? That's my point I want to ask you. What does it mean for you to serve God this morning? I could go around this church this morning. I want you to ask this for yourself. If somebody didn't come with you, if somebody wasn't here and they just walked out of your life, would you still serve God? Be honest with yourself this morning. Be honest with yourself this morning. Would you do that? Because listen to me, we serve a God that wants our undivided attention this morning. Oh, I understand. That would be hard. That'd be rough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love my wife dearly. I love her. I wouldn't want that to happen. But I'm here to tell you, it happens to people. It happens to people who are Christians. They couldn't understand why God would allow it to happen. You need to serve the Lord, to serve him, not to understand him. Not to understand every situation or every issue in your life. You need to serve God to serve him. We must trust him that he has control, even if everything looks out of control. Man, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard preaching. I know it is. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. You know the scripture. What is it we walk by? We walk by faith and not by sight. Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we walk. Praise his name. What if the brook dries up? In Matthew 19, the story of the rich young man. We all know the story, do we not? He said, come to Jesus. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, I could go into works on this, but this is not the direction I'm going with this right now. We understand. What good thing can I do to get eternal life? You can't do no good thing to get eternal life. I want to get that up front right now. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. Jesus asked him, have you kept the Ten Commandments? Have you honored thy father and mother? Do you love your neighbor even as yourself? And the man said, oh, I've done all these since I was a kid. I've done them all. He said, but yet then he asked him about two more things. Sell everything you own, and then come and follow me. When that young man heard that, his brook had already started drying up a long time ago. It went completely dry. Because he walked away sorrowful. He walked away sad. Can I tell you something this morning? Are you willing? Are you sold out this morning to Jesus? Are you sold out to him this morning?
Because that's what he wants. Come and follow me. Get in the harness. Get in the saddle. Get in there and get to pulling with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he could not totally sell out to serving God. He just couldn't do it. Don't stay. Now, there's something else I want you to notice about all this. Don't stay in the dry places waiting for something good to happen again. You get what I'm saying? Too many times, brothers and sisters, God has let that brook run dry. And guess what we want to do? We want to stay there wishing for the good old days again. Whenever we should be out there saying, God, you shut this door, you let this brook run dry, let me go to another one. Let it so be, Lord. Open up the next door and let's go get her. Praise his name this morning. I hope and pray that you are so in tune with God this morning that you understand that. Don't stay in a dry place waiting for the former things to happen. It serves no purpose in your life, and you do not serve God that way. Listen to me. He's sending you to your next... Well, if you're one of his children and fully trusting him, listen to me. When that brook runs dry, God's going to give you another brook. He's going to supply. He's going to supply to you what is needed in your life. But in order for you to get there, he has to dry some things up sometimes, doesn't he? Yes, he does. It was not God's will for Elijah to stay at Cherith. It was not his will to stay there. That was just to get him to the next point in his life. He told Elijah to get away from that dry brook, and he said, you go to Zephrath, and there someone who will help you. And it was a widow woman. Can I also tell you something? Remember what I told you about here recently, about just a little bit ago, about the unclean vessel? Go to Luke 4 with me. We're going to read this story in what Jesus said about the same story. Luke 4. Starting verse 16. When you get there again, please say amen. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up there to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Elias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now listen to how they're accepting this right here first. Listen to how they're all taking this in. And he said, they wondered in gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Now listen to the turn it's going to take. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sephira, a city of Sidon, a woman that was a widow. All the widows that were in Israel at that time, all of them, there was not a one of them worthy. He sent him to a country that wasn't even, to a heathen country, you might say. And he sent it to a widow woman here at this heathen country. Listen to me, God will use anything and everything to get his purpose across and to get it accomplished. When the brook dried up, God made another way. And Elijah minded him. Can I tell you something else you need to do this morning? Listen, we need to mind God. This is one thing that I want you to see about Elijah. Life was marked with obedience. How about your life this morning? Is it marked with obedience? If God told Elijah to stand and rebuke kings, Elijah stood and rebuked kings. Even when his own life was on the line, Elijah did it. If God told Elijah to hide, Elijah did it. If God told Elijah to move, guess what? Elijah did it. 1 Samuel 15:22. I'm going to leave you with this. They're going to get an overhead here in a minute to play for our altar call. 1 Samuel 15:22. You know the scripture. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." If you ever are going to get out of the dry place that you're in, you're going to have to be obedient. Where's that obedience come from? It comes from the Word of God, and it comes from the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God to work in your life. I'm going to ask you as they get ready to play this song this morning, is your brook dried up any? Do you not feel the Spirit the way maybe that you once felt it moving in your life? I don't know. I can't see your hearts. I can't see your souls. You could sit back here with a big smile on your face and not feel the Spirit of God in your life at all. I don't know. But I can say this morning that you can feel it here this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God can take care of that this morning. Amen. Without the Spirit, you're none of His. That's God's Word. That's not mine. Understand that this morning. Understand it and let it sink in. Is your brook running dry? Trust Him. Trust Him. He may dry that brook up for a reason. He may have dried it up for a reason. But then again, maybe you need to understand that brook run dry for another reason. If they get a song, let's stand this morning. If you have a need, please come to this altar, please.